Coming up on The Last Christian, shocking calls for Arabs to help build the Jewish temple, Mahdi or Messiah. Prophecy is unfolding fast. Don't miss it.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton all the way from New York, New York.
New York.
David, we got some breaking news we're going to get to here in just a minute
that
is going to turn the world upside down.
Or right side up.
Or right side up or sideways or something. So anyway, pray us into the show. We're sure going to need it today.
All right. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the blood that has given us righteousness and peace and joy and hope and all those cool things. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the understanding of the times that we have so people could know that your return is imminent, as we discuss here all the time. We give you all the praise, and we ask for wisdom and guidance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Okay, I'm going to show you guys what we were going to talk about. Okay, and we still may be able to get to some of this, but you know, the week in review. Well, also on the schedule was U.S. news. Then we had the Middle East update, and then religious news and interesting events. I had some stuff on that, but we actually have some breaking news right now that I believe just may turn everything just like completely upside down. And
that should be fun.
Yeah, well, I think we ought to just start with it because it is it is the big one. So let me see here. Let's just start right here at the beginning. And
the
you guys
beginning?
Are going to have to watch all of this stuff. Okay, we have breaking news about the third Jewish temple. Now, we have talked about this temple many times. This is not what the Jews think it's going to be. Okay, the third temple is actually going to be where the Antichrist is unveiled. And with that in mind, I want you to read this. Now, this is from Israel 365 News, and this is about a Mr. Abdullah Hashim Abba Al-Sakhi, or something like that, commonly known as Abdullah Hashim. He's an Egyptian-American and the founder of the Ahmadi Religion of Peace and Light. That's A-R-O-P-L.
Now, which is none of the above.
He claims to be, now get this, he claims to be the living successor of both the Prophet Muhammad and Jesus Christ.
Oh, his, go for him.
Yeah, his sermons bring a, quote, a divine message to the global Christian community, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
He also claims to be the successor to Simon Peter.
Oh,
very nice. The successor to Jesus Christ and the true and legitimate Pope. He claims to be the Mahdi, a messianic figure and a redeemer of Islam who will come as an end-of-days ruler. Now, this article is published by Israel 365 News, and I encourage you guys to go there. I want to give them due credit here. It's the Israel 365 News. Now, they contacted a spokesman for the organization there, releasing a statement outlining a proposal for peace between the Palestinians and Israel based on the Arab world joining with the Jews in the construction of the third temple there in Jerusalem. That's pretty big, okay?
Mm-hmm,
now, moving
mm-hmm.
on here, it says, a call for unity and peace. This was actually published on the 9th of May, so we're going to very recent here. In a bold and defining development, from him is peace. That's why how he quotes his name. Now, you know a little bit about this Arabic language there, David. I don't know if you know anything about that one or not, but it's
it's basically he calls himself Hashem, means the name,
okay.
And then Abba, the name of the father, and Al is of, kind of a thing,
okay.
And then Sadiq obviously is peace, as it says there,
okay. So it's for him, he says, from him is peace. He identifies as the riser of the family of Muhammad in the Ahmadi Religion of Peace and Light, presented a compelling vision for lasting peace between Israelis and Palestinians. The initiative calls for a joint effort between the Arabs and Jews to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem.
The Arabs.
It also
it's your
calls,
Texas accent.
It also calls for the exodus of the Palestinians from Gaza and the creation of a new state headed by a descendant and heir to the Prophet Muhammad and his family. Now, in a direct appeal, he calls upon Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, to grant freedom to the 2 million Palestinians, envisioning their secure future in a new divine just state. He also calls for recognition from both sides that he, as the representative of Muhammad, be the negotiator between the two parties. Let's see, the Mahdi Abba al-Sadiq, the inheritor of divine wisdom and authority, delivers a groundbreaking sermon directed at the Palestinians and Israelis, the children of Abraham. His message is clear. By harming each other, you're only hurting your shared father. Now, I've got more, David, but what do you think about this so far?
I think this is more in line with the biblical Antichrist than anything I've seen.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a lot of nonsense in there, but it's nonsense that people will fall for. Mm-hmm. Clearly, he's the name of the Father of Peace, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You're nothing about peace, and we know it. Mm-hmm. That's the ruse that they come in under, you know, the Trojan horse, if you would. And Joel Richardson has been preaching for years of a Muslim Antichrist, and he's got a lot of pushback about that because he's like, oh, the Jews would never receive that. But if this dude, you know, he's starting to claim that he's not only the descendant of Muhammad, but, you know, descendant of Jesus, which would be Jewish, and the descendant of Peter, which would be Jewish. I don't know how he got all those in his heritage, but
yeah, really,
it worked. Yeah. And then he's, you know, a self-proclaimed, you know, answer to everything. It just comes out, I'm the answer to everything. You should trust me. Okay, then. Who are you? But he's speaking all that stuff. If nothing else, he's opening the dialogue of the end time events. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to create this peace treaty. We're all going to live together. We're going to sing Kumbaya, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. But exactly like Jesus said, he said, you know, if anyone says here is the Christ or over there, it ain't him.
Yeah. Run away. Yeah.
Trust me, he won't have to get on social media to tell everybody he's the Christ. When Jesus comes, you will know.
Well, this guy, you know, he seems to be the descendant of everybody, you know. And I'm gonna throw this in here real quick. I do have a new story on the new Pope, and you know, we'll get to that maybe.
He changed his clothes and now he's a different man.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that this guy said he was the true Pope. And remember, there was
Mahdi dude.
Yeah, there was somebody. I'm trying to think of the name, David. We talked about it for a long time, but the last Pope was supposed to be the last Pope.
In the Malachi little prophecy.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, obviously, that's not true. So he missed on that one, unless...
Yeah, it didn't work out.
Unless this guy is able to convince enough people that he is the true Pope, that there is some kind of a battle between the two, in which case neither one of them would be the true Pope. Do you see what I'm saying?
So this is kind of the... that was the last real Pope, if you would, according to the Catholic Church. But then they have this battle and says, well, then neither one of them really. That's an interesting take.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about it is that the new Pope is actually an American-born citizen. He comes from Chicago, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And this guy is also American-born. So, you know, it's kind of a weird situation there. Anyway, let's move on here.
Now, well, that fits in real quick with go ahead. There are a lot of prophecy teachers that feel they can demonstrate that America is Mystery Babylon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which yeah. I don't necessarily disagree with.
Okay.
But, you know, I think it's in a metaphorically kind of way where Babylon will actually be rebuilt, but the Mystery Babylon, the spirit of Babylon, is definitely here.
Yeah.
Again, it's esoteric. We'll find out soon enough.
We'll see. Yeah. Because I've long held that America's not in the Bible. And, you know, like you said, there are people out there that believe that Mystery Babylon is the United States. So, you know, I can be wrong. I'm not a prophet. You know? I just have an opinion. So, you know.
It's the spirit of Babylon. If you could say, hey, you know, America harbors the spirit of Babylon, I could go with that 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's see here. Now, this guy says, you know, this is not just another plea for peace. It's a wake-up call to the world. The ongoing conflict is not just political. It is spiritual. It wounds the legacy of the prophets and dishonors the covenants you were entrusted with. Now, he calls on both sides to stop the cycle of destruction and meet at the table of truth. He's not a politician. He is the rightful inheritor of the Islamic nation, and in his hands are the divine solutions to this crisis, solutions rooted in justice, unity, and the will of God. He says,
now, to be clear, this is what he says. So, guys,
I want to make that really clear. That's exactly what he says. That's not me, and it's not David, and I don't think it's any true Christian would look at this that way. But anyway, what he is saying is this message is a turning point. For those willing to listen, it marks the beginning of the end of this conflict and the start of real, lasting peace. No, it doesn't, but anyway. Now, the sermon contains several surprising elements. Let's listen to this. Again, this is according to him. David, you're right. We need to keep saying that throughout here. According to him, the treacherous Arab rulers have lied to you and are using religious blackmail and propaganda in order to force you to give up your lives defending their kingdoms. They close the doors on you and want you to save Palestine. The truth, I tell you, is there is no Palestine. There is no Iraq. There is no Egypt. There is no Sudan. There is no Libya, no Algeria, Morocco, no Tunisia, no Qatar, no Kuwait, no UAE, no Syria, no Arabia, no Oman, no Jordan. There are only the lands of the Muslims. The earth is for Allah. He leaves it as an inheritance to whom he wills. Now, there was a lot there, and I heard you kind of gasp when he said some of that, and so I'd like for you to comment.
Yeah, because I mean that is completely breaks the narrative of all of Islam basically. Plus, you know, down in Texas they're trying to make an Islam state. He should have included that. It's not Texas, and it's not Minnesota.
Right.
So yeah, and that's interesting because that is along the lines of what they've always said their Mahdi would do. So the question arises. Was that a prophetic statement, or is he just reading into what they wrote and said, let me be this guy, he'll come back.
Let me be the guy.
You know, this is everything they wrote. Let's do that. So in part of the Islam the prophecies, if you can call it that, is that he will come. And when he does come, then he is going to totally erase all the previous writings, and you just have to listen to him. So he can, if the Quran says this but he says that, you got to go with him because he supersedes that. If the Bible says this but he says that, you got, you know, he's allowed to usurp the authority of any kind of scriptures. That's their thought, and this guy seems to be heading in that direction.
Yeah, it's the first one that I've ever seen. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that the Jews would never and we've talked about it, that the Jews would never accept a Muslim as the Messiah, but this guy is kind of like trying to thread the needle, if you will, by saying, you know, I am the direct descendant of not only Muhammad, but of Jesus Christ and of
himself. Is like, yeah, well, he didn't have any kids, so I'm not sure how that happened.
I'm wondering if maybe it's in here. I haven't read through all this because it is breaking stuff, and you know, it's just kind of here. But I'm wondering if maybe he's talking about Jesus' brother, you know, which would be
what, James or Jude stepbrother, or whatever.
I don't know. I don't know. Or maybe he is.
That's a thought.
Or maybe he's claiming that Jesus didn't rise again. I don't know. We'll just have to see. He says, now they tell you this fight is to save Alaska. You know, golden dome thing. They tell you it is a fight over the Temple Mount, over Jerusalem. They say the Muslims regard it as one of their holiest sites. They say you must fight and die to defend it against the Jews who want to build their temple, the Temple of Solomon, the son of David. As for the temple being built, it will be built. Books written by both Shia and Sunni Muslim scholars have stated there is a prophecy from the Prophet Muhammad narrated by his companions that states, quote, a caliph from the descendants of the Bani Hashim, or sons of God, will descend, and he will fill the earth with justice and fairness. He will rebuild the Bet Maqdis. You'll have to say that one for me, David.
Beit HaMikdash.
Okay, which is the temple. Go ahead.
Yeah, the house of the house of the covenant, basically.
Okay, all right. With a construction like none before it, and there is no rebuilding of Jerusalem unless it includes that which does not include the rebuilding of its crown jewel, the Temple of Solomon. Again, quoting him, here we see in this vision of Jerusalem a temple rebuilt, sacred to the Jews and Arabs, to the Messiah and to the Mahdi. Perhaps at that time the children of Ishmael and Yishak are in peace and help their father Abraham in rebuilding a great temple. After all, the Jews and the Muslims agree that they worship the same God, and they agree their prayers are acceptable in each other's places of worship. After all, their David is our David, their Solomon is our Solomon. We believe in the same prophets and messengers. Many of the Muslims don't know, due to the non-working scholars, that the mosques on the Temple Mount were not built by the Prophet Muhammad nor by his family. The very first foundation was established by Muawiyah, the son of Abu Sufyan, the enemy of Muhammad. Okay, there's a lot there again, David. What did you think about that part?
Well, you know, he's pulling out some good history, and he learned all this stuff. The problem is he doesn't have the spirit of, you know, the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, he's got the fake Holy Spirit. People need to recognize that too. There's a false Trinity, if you would. So there's Satan, and then there's the false Messiah, but then there's the false Holy Spirit, which we would call the false prophet. And so we're seeing him put all these things together. And the Bible tells us very clearly he'll come with a gospel so close that if it were possible, it would deceive the elect. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of, who's that guy that wrote the purpose-filled church?
Him. On the West Coast, yeah.
Rick something or other. His name always eludes me because I want it to. Rick Warren, that's it. He's all about
that first book. I thought that one was pretty good, but that was a long time ago. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And the problem is it's so close, but it's fake.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's all about Chrislam and all this other stuff. You know, we're supposed to be together. And then, and the same old story, it goes back to Ishmael and Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
But. Mm-hmm. God clearly said, this is your only son in Isaac.
Yeah.
And Ishmael was the work of his own hands. Now, God did bless him. Now, those can be saved. Mm-hmm. That's not the point. The point is, it shows a dichotomy. Abraham tried to do it by himself.
Yeah.
And then he waited on the Lord, and the Lord did a miracle through Isaac. Mm-hmm. And that's where it all comes from. And so they think, oh, you know, Israel's supposed to be wonderful. No, Israel's not. But it is the chosen. It is the miracle one. And it, even through them, the miracle is that they're a bunch of apostates, but God's going to use them anyway.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with our lives. If we try and do things our own way, it's going to turn out like an Ishmael.
Right.
And if we just wait for God to do it, it'll turn out like an Isaac.
Amen. Yeah, you are 100% correct on that. All right, we're going to continue with this guy. He says that the current Al-Aqsa Mosque was built by an Umad Caliph, I guess? Abd Malik.
Caliph.
Caliph, okay. And then after being destroyed by an earthquake, was rebuilt by the Abbasid Caliph. I'm not going to try the other one.
Abbasid Caliph al-Mansur.
Thank you. And he said, none of these individuals were prophets. None of them were holy. All of them were enemies of Muhammad. He goes on to say here that the structures themselves on the site of the Temple Mount mean nothing to Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. Furthermore, the narrations cast doubt upon the actual location of Al-Aqsa altogether. Abdullah Hashim then related the Hadith describing Muhammad's miraculous night journey, in which he traveled to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the further mosque. He then referred to the myth that the further mosque referred to in the Quran was in Jerusalem. Dr. Mordechai Keita, a senior...
Mordecai.
Mordecai. Okay, thank you for that. These names are crazy, David.
Mordecai Kadar.
Yeah, I struggle with it. Anyway, he's a senior lecturer in the department...
Better.
The senior lecturer in the Department of Arabic at Bar-Ilan University frequently refers to the myth that the Al-Aqsa Mosque described in the Quran is located in Jerusalem is fake news and insulting to Saudi Arabian Muslims, since it would raise the mosque on the Temple Mount to a level of importance that could contest the centrality of Mecca in Islam.
We've been saying that for years. That's interesting.
Yeah. Quoting him again, he says, in early Islam, we see that assigning holiness to the Temple Mount was criticized in his attempt to introduce Jewish concepts into Islam. Now, that's according to this Dr. Keeter. He also says, today, this narrative describing Muhammad's night journey as culminating in Jerusalem has been revived, advanced by the Muslim Brotherhood, Turkey's President Erdogan, Qatar, and other Islamic movements seeking to unite Muslims and or Arabs under a caliphate who seek to take over Jerusalem and use it like a crown. Again, David, a lot there. What did you think of that part of this thing?
Well, we've been trying to tell people for like decades that's not really a Muslim place of worship, that Mecca mm-hmm. is. In their eyes, and, right. and Mecca is kind of weird in itself. It's, hey, here's a space rock. Let's just walk around in circles around this thing. Very Babylonian. And it's weird. And then they all kiss it, and it's like, so we have this running gag, the butthole of Allah, and they're all kissing it because that's what it looks like. but yeah, it's surprising that this guy is doing that because he's. He's speaking on all the levels. Let's see. So he's speaking to where Christians say this kind of a thing. He's speaking to where the Jews say this kind of a thing, mm-hmm. and then calling out Islam, but still lifting up Muhammad.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting because, you know, we have to recognize that, you know, the Antichrist is not stupid.
Right.
He's extremely intelligent, as a matter of fact, and that's what's going to lead a lot of people to him. So he's speaking intelligently. He's speaking all of these things. He's speaking directly to what everybody wants to hear, mm-hmm. and therein lies the danger.
Right.
Is that he is speaking to what everybody wants to hear, but it's always rat poison, right? It's mm-hmm. 99% delicious, nutritious rat mm-hmm. food, mm-hmm. and then that 1% of poison is what kills you. So that's where this is leading with this guy. So because Jesus very clearly said one thing, do not be deceived.
Right.
Don't be deceived. If you will know when I come, Christ is here or there, he ain't there. You're not going to have to advertise it. You're not going to have to put on social media. You don't put on the news. He doesn't have to tell everybody and put stickers up all over town. Everybody will know instantly that the Messiah is here.
Instantly, yes. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. Now, this guy is in competition. Now, if you're Catholic, please don't take offense.
There's other Mahdi's?
Yeah, please don't take offense by this. But, if you happen to be Catholic, you're thinking that your Pope is, the descendant.
He's the new Pope, right?
Yeah, the Pope Peter, that didn't actually happen. But, we have talked, and again, I'm not trying to offend any Catholics out there, but we've talked about the possibility that the Pope is the false prophet. Well, mm-hmm. Now we got another contender, David. I don't think either one of them is the Antichrist. I think, the Antichrist, according to the Bible, the Antichrist is, comes to prevalence after mm-hmm. the rapture of the church. So I can't
right.
see.
What well, doesn't mean we wouldn't know. We wouldn't see him. Like it could be him, but we just won't know it's him until after.
Okay.
That. So, now here's a possible scenario too, because mm-hmm. the any given Pope at that time, maybe he's like, yeah, you're right. Okay, you're the real vicar of Christ, and then he goes around and he starts to tell everybody, no, he's the real one. Mm. So you still got that possibility that this guy's the Antichrist, and then the Pope is like saying, oh yeah, I agree with him as the false prophet.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting position there. Now I've still got more. On this,
well, we're gonna have to wait for the second half on that.
Yeah, and we are gonna have to wait until the second half of the show to go on with it. So I want to remind you guys, please go to lastchristian.net, help us support our mission of delivering the word of Jesus Christ all over the world. And we have all kinds of different affiliate programs there. We also have some gifts for you if you choose to donate. And, we don't ask for money a lot, but it does cost us a little bit of money to run things here. And so we would mm-hmm. appreciate any donation that you might wish to come with. Also, if you have a radio show, I can tell you that the people at Revelation Radio are always looking for hosts over there as well. So, anyway, we'll be back after the break with the second half of Last Christian, and we'll finish off this stuff and maybe have a little bit of news. We'll be right back. Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. It's Mr. David Paxton in New York. David, we're going to go ahead and continue this thing. Let me see here. I can't remember where I left off, to be honest with you. Yeah, here we go. Let's look at this one real quick. In an article that was first published in 2016, this Dr. Keter, I guess?
Kedar.
He advocated for a more precise and accurate understanding of Jerusalem's significance for some Muslims by dispelling some clear lies perpetuated about the Temple Mount. Now, he explained that the Al-Aqsa is mentioned once in the Quran, and Jerusalem is never named, even once. Now, we've emphasized that several times, David. Quoting him, since the Hajj pilgrimage is one of the five basic Islamic commandments. The Umayyads, how do you say that name?
Umayyads, yeah.
Okay. They were forced to choose Jerusalem as their alternative for a pilgrimage site. He says that in order to justify choosing Jerusalem, the Umayyads rewrote the story told in the Quran, moving the Al-Aqsa Mosque to Jerusalem and adding, for good measure, the myth of the nighttime journey of Muhammad to Al-Aqsa. This is the reason the Sunnis now consider Jerusalem their third holiest city. He says that Shia Islam, mercilessly persecuted by the Umayyad Caliphate, did not accept the Holy Jerusalem canard, which is the reason the second holiest city to Shiites is Najaf in Iraq, the burial place of Shiite founder Ali bin Abi Talib. Many of the Shiite elders, Iranian and Hezbollah, only began to call Jerusalem holy after the Khomeini Rebellion in 1979, so as to keep the Sunnis from accusing them of being soft on Zionism. Indeed, most Sunni maintain that the true location of the Al-Aqsa Mosque described in the Quran is in Al-Jarrah, I guess that is, near Mecca, in Saudi Arabia, and not on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Now, these two guys are talking a lot about stuff that they perceive Islam is lying about, right? So, what are the chances that they're getting themselves in some serious trouble here? I mean, you know, we talked about it briefly off air, but, you know, there was the guy that wrote the Satanic Verses. Now his name flies out of my mind here, but, you know, he made some comments, and they're still after him trying to kill him. You know, they made several attempts on his life. So what do you think's going to happen?
Solomon Rushdie.
Yeah, Solomon Rushdie. Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably going to do the same thing, and that would be typical. What will be interesting to see is if he starts to gain the recognition because, you know, the Antichrist will be basically loved by majority of the world because he's going to bring all this peace. So it really seems, because most Muslims, they want more war to bring their Mahdi. But if this is the Mahdi, then he's supposed to be bringing peace. Maybe they stirred it up enough and maybe they'll change their mindset and say, oh, look, we stirred up enough grief that he finally came and here he is. So let's do this peace thing.
Well, okay. Let's
I mean, there's that possibility. I don't know. But if it's not time yet, they're probably going to disown him like they did everybody else.
Well, you know, just in tune with what you were saying there, you know, the Mahdi is supposed to show up when the war is going on. Okay, well, we got war with Israel and Hamas, Israel and Hezbollah, Israel and the Houthis, Israel and Iran. How much more war do you need before the Muslims say, hey, maybe this guy is who he says he is, and if he can bring peace to everybody and he gives us a place to live and all this kind of stuff, maybe they embrace him.
Possibility.
Trust me, I'm not saying that's it, you know, because again,
we're just thinking out loud.
Yeah, I am not a prophet, you know, I don't claim to be and never will. I got one more here for you. Now, it should be noted that while claiming the Al-Aqsa Mosque is holy to Islam, Palestinians identify the mosque as the Gold Dome, which is, in fact, the Dome of the Rock. The Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount has a dark gray dome and is located on the southern edge of the Temple Mount. Now, this Abdullah Hashim continues his sermon. He says, if the people ask Muhammad and the family of Muhammad about the Temple Mount instead of asking the non-working scholars about the Temple Mount, the matter would have been clear to them. They are being lied to. Their children are being slaughtered for a matter which the scholars themselves know to be a lie. The Prophet Muhammad never traveled to that Jerusalem. Now, he goes on to say here, if a shared temple will bring lasting peace, then let us build it together in peace. Then afterwards, none have an excuse in front of this world to grant Muhammad and his nation a state. Our holiest of holies is the Imam of the time. Again, now this is all him. You know, we want to continue to say this. This is this fake guy here. Anyway, he adds, he says, if a shared temple will bring lasting peace and let's build it together in peace, then afterwards none of us have an excuse in front of the world. And he says, don't harm any more people. Stop this war. There's that war thing, David. Stop this war. See it that my message is carried to the Palestinian people. Allow me to convince them to leave with me. Then you can have the land if you want it, and I can have my people, and we will be happy to go anywhere in the world, any plot of land that has in it a ruler appointed by the Prophet of Allah. Any land with a divinely appointed ruler is a holy land. He made a plea to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to allow the Palestinians to leave Gaza, invoking Moses' statement to Pharaoh, let my people go. The AROPL group has been persecuted by police and government authorities in Azerbaijan, Iran, in Jordan, Malaysia, Sweden, Thailand, and other countries. But what the one thing that really stood out to me there was, number one, the war thing, and number two, follow me. You know, follow me.
Yep.
So what did you get out of it? Because you're the Bible scholar here.
Yeah, he's definitely speaking the language, and it's very interesting because all of a sudden, you know, we got all these, you know, at first it was Hitler, and then it was, you know, all the different people. I remember Ronald Reagan, because, you know, he had six letters in each of his three names. He was the Antichrist. And then there was Obama. And it was, everybody's the Antichrist. Now Trump's the Antichrist. but none of it, you know, they were just world leaders. And as you can see, they're clearly different than this guy. This guy is making peace, what's that word I'm looking for? He's basically encouraging them all to have peace and everybody. But he's lifting up the Jews and he's lifting up the Christians and he's lifting up everybody and calling out Islam, of which he is one of them, and saying, no, this has to be right. So that's interesting in the brilliance there, because, you know, maybe I know a lot of Muslims here. I'm in New York City. There's a lot of them. And let me tell you something. The vast majority of them don't want any war, and they just want to live their lives and do this. So he might appeal to them, you know, and not for nothing, the vast majority of them are good people. Okay, they're not saved because they don't know Jesus, but that's not the requirement to be saved. Is not, hey, you have to be a good person. The requirement is to accept Jesus to pay for your sins, and then he'll make you a good person. So, you know, we pray for them, but because of their reluctance to accept Jesus as the Savior, might lean towards this guy. Hey, he's speaking that priest. Oh, he is of Jesus. Oh, look, he's talking about Jesus. Oh, he's talking about Peter. Oh, he's looking about the Peter. I think this guy has a possibility of attracting a lot of other people.
I do too. I was just going to ask you that. You know, again, we have said many times that the Jews would never accept, never accept a Muslim as their Messiah, yet this guy's calling himself the Messiah and the Mahdi and the descendant of Peter, for the, that throws in the Christians, right? So, I mean, he's trying to appeal to everyone at the same time.
Yes.
And it's a mess. I've never heard anything like this ever before. Have you?
Yeah. No, not from a person. And this is what I was looking for in a person who could possibly be the Antichrist, because the Bible alludes to in many places that he will be whomever you want him to be, no matter where you're from.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're a Christian, then he's, you know, the return of the Messiah. If you're Jewish, then, you know, he is the first time Messiah. If you're Muslim, then he's the Mahdi. So he seems to be heading in that direction. So that'd be interesting to watch. But it's even more interesting to know that if he is, then Jesus is like literally like around
right
the corner.
Right around the corner, yeah.
And then he'll be revealed as the Antichrist.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's one.
It certainly fits the bill.
Our entire show was changed in a second, you know. So anyway, I want to show you one of the things that I had scheduled.
Can I read this first?
Go right ahead.
All right. So we're in the book of Revelation. This is what John said, and it's about the end of the age here. And it says, I'm going to start here in Revelation 10:7. And the chapter breaks are different. So we're going to go roll right on into chapter 11 here.
Okay.
Because they're just man-made. And so 10:7 starts, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound." So here's the seventh trumpet. Yeah, this is what's going on here. So it's going to be in a little bit. "The mystery of God should be finished." Oh, the mystery of God is finished. Okay, good. "As he declared to his servants, the prophets." Interesting. So all these prophets, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, etc. This is when they're going to be finished. "And Daniel, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and the earth." So it's an angel standing on the sea and the earth. He's got a book. "And I went to the angel and said unto him, give me the book. Give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but in thy mouth shall be sweet as honey." So it's going to taste real good.
Yeah.
But then when you finally eat it, it's going to be a problem. Okay. So this is it. This guy sounds real good, but trust me, you put this together, it's going to be a problem. "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me," so here we are. Oh, it's going to taste real good, but it's really going to give you a problem when you finally swallow this. And the point is, they swallowed it already. It's too late.
Yeah.
Now, look at where we're going right after. It sounds real good and tastes good, but there's a problem. Right. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And there was given to me a reed like a rod. And the angel stood. All right. So he says, okay, here's a measuring rod. That's how they would measure buildings and stuff. Mm. Okay, here's your measuring rod. Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So there's a temple of God. But the court which is without the temple, leave it out and measure it not. So there's another court that's outside the temple. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot for 42 months. Wow. Okay. So that second half of the tribulation is 42 months. That's when they're going to do this. So the temple is built by the midpoint of the of the tribulation period, because there they are, the temple of God. John said, okay, measure this out. But the idea is, okay, this is where it's supposed to be, but there's a court of the Gentiles over there, and that's where they're going to be, and they're going to be able to trample out for 42 months, okay? And then I will give power to my two witnesses. So now the two witnesses come in. So we can see that this dome thing is actually not on the Temple Mount, but it's nearby, and it's out there. And he's supposed to measure it, but he's going to leave that part out. So we can see this guy is leaning in that direction.
Yes, 100%.
It's the court of the Gentiles. And then John's going to have to measure all this out. So we see that it's building to the crescendo from what this dude is saying.
Yeah. Well, the reason I wanted to show this other one, David, and because it falls right in with what you're saying, really, but this just happens to be part of this thing. This Christian prophetic messages. Have you ever heard of Amanda Grace? Okay, she's emphasized that 2025 is a pivotal year for spiritual choices, urging believers to pursue obedience and unity to receive God's abundant blessings. The Father's Heart Ministry declared May 2025 as a time of unexpected spiritual expansion, encouraging individuals to embrace new directions beyond traditional expectations. Missionaries of prayer warned enemies of your inheritance, advising vigilance against spiritual distractions that could hinder one's divine purpose. Then you've got the global prophetic perspectives. There's Joshua Giles, a Christian prophet, has predicted that 2025 could mark the beginning of a global era of war, potentially involving the United States and other nations. He also foresaw increased terrorist activity in the United States and significant advancements in medicine and technology. Now, it doesn't take much to make those guesses that he just did there, because, you know, they're pretty obvious to everybody. But I thought that it was interesting that, you know, they're all calling this 2025, and this is 2025. And then we're seeing this other guy pop up all of a sudden saying that he's the Mahdi and the Messiah and all this other stuff. And we already have hot wars going on. Okay. Go ahead, David. I know you got comments on that.
Yeah, it's just fun and exciting. Again, we are now in the Jubilee year. Okay, the next to last one, which is basically the kickoff to the relay race, if you would. As we will be discussing, there's times and seasons, and they're coming up. You'll see that on our next show. That's going to be fun.
Oh, boy. Tell people
we'll
about
talk
that
about that. But and you got to remember that, you know, Jesus was crucified in when he was 33 back then, and the calendar, it could be year 30, could be year 33. It depends on the calendar and how they pan out. Right. But it wasn't until AD 70 on our current calendar that we see that. So that was, you know, how many years later, you know, close to 40 years later, that it was literally, that's when the end of the age was. So you see that relay time off. Okay. Here's when Christ was crucified. So he was born. He had to live his life to become the rabbi. Then all of a sudden, you know, he takes over. He has his ministry for 3 years. He's crucified, and that sets off the catalyst for this race. And then that race ended in AD 70. So we're going to see something similar here. Because if he was, let's say it was in on our calendar, it was 33 AD. All right. And then that 40 years later, you know, that would be 73. So that's 3.5 years. So you fit it in there. And then now you got this 40 year period. So we got a, this 50 year period that's coming up. And it's like, okay, so this is when everything is going to start to snowball, and the catalyst effect. This is going to lead to that, going to lead to that. And then the relay of taking off into the millennial kingdom. That's what I was trying to say.
Well, I'll tell you this. You mentioned it. We already know what our next week's kickoff show is going to be about, and I'll give you guys a heads
up.
Got it
all planned out.
Yeah. We are going to actually reveal to you the exact date that Jesus entered Jerusalem, the exact date that he was crucified, the exact, well, I'm not going to go any more than that. You guys are going to want to see it, because we even include the possibility or, well, we even include stuff like when the world will come to an end, you know. And now, again, we're not trying to be prophets. We're relying on the prophets to give us this information. So anyway, you might want to tune into that show. Now, I do want to show this one as well, David. I found this one really, really interesting, and this is about Islam. Okay. Now, you see that Islam was established. In other words, you know, it didn't exist until 1,400 years ago. So it was created in the 7th century. Now, look at these things here. Iran was Zoroastrian, whatever that is. It is today. It's Muslim. Iraq was Christian. Today it's Muslim. Turkey was Christian. Today it's Muslim. Lebanon was Christian. Today, with a Muslim majority and Islamic radicalism, the Christians are disappearing from there. Egypt was Christian. Today it's 92% Muslim. Christians are persecuted and exterminated there. Saudi Arabia was with pagans, Christians, and Jews. Today it's Muslim. Yemen was a Jewish kingdom. Today it's Muslim. Pakistan was Hindu. Today it's Muslim with an extreme persecuted Hindu minority. Afghanistan was Hindu. Today it's Muslim. Britain today is Christian or Western, but it's slowly being conquered by Islam. Holland today is Christian and Western, and again, it's slowly being conquered by Islam. Sweden today is Christian Western, and it's slowly being conquered by Islam. I see a trend here. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's the end of the age. And here we go. He's going to come and try and take over the world. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And they have their MO, and they're doing it here. You see it in Texas. We see it up there in Minnesota. They come in, they cry, "Oh, please help us. We're refugees." And then they build up a little bit. "Oh, we just want to be recognized. Oh, we want to be part of the decision making. Oh, we're going to take over because this is the right thing." They do it little by little. And then, you know, and then they'll kill you if you don't follow their rules. That's just their MO. And they're trying to do that here. Most people honestly don't like that MO, even whether they're Muslim or not, which is what's scary about this guy. Because he's coming in and saying, "Hey, that's the wrong way to do it." So now all these Muslims that actually are a peaceful, normal type people will start to follow this guy.
Well, you see, you see in Gaza right now, the people that live there are chasing Hamas as best they can, and trying to get them out. President Trump has said that, you know, he supports Israel, that if Israel sees that they need to go in there and clean it completely out, you know, he'd go along with it. And basically that's what they're saying. Well, what they're saying is, you either come to a peace agreement with us, you know, within a short period of time here, or we do come in there full strength and we take you out rather quickly. Now, we know Hamas will never keep a peace treaty or anything like that. So I think that chances of Israel going in are pretty good. I'm not so sure that President Trump's actually going to say or actually do what he's saying. It's beginning to bother me a little bit. He's leaving Israel out of a lot of decisions. His visit going over to the Middle East does not include Israel. That's a pretty big slap right there. And I'm also understanding that he is pressuring Israel to accept a peace agreement that they don't want to accept. Now, you know, we're just being honest on this program. Mm-hmm. You know, if we've said if President Trump does something stupid, we will comment on it. And I feel like that's stupid. So I had to comment on it. He's done a lot of good things. But, you know, there's always that possibility of doing something that isn't good. And David always
He's not the Messiah either. So, right. We tend to be objective here because, I mean, there are those in the Christian world who, you know, believe that he's the answer. He was sent by God and he's going to fix everything, you know, with the Q and everybody else going on. And he can't do anything wrong. And then there's the other side said, no, he's the one, he's a deceiver that was sent. Mm-hmm. And so you got extremes on both sides over mm-hmm. here. It's like, no, he's neither one of those extremes.
Right. He's neither one.
He's just an eccentric dude who's mm-hmm. trying to do the best he can, but clearly he's a man and is not perfect. So mm-hmm. he's going to make some mistakes.
Right.
And he will be used by God like everyone else in the world. Mm-hmm. And people make their own decisions, but you know God is the master chess player.
Yeah,
and he will come in and say we're going to do this and this and this, and it will mm-hmm. all pan out mm-hmm. the way he planned it out. And and so that's what it is. So we're neither pro nor anti Trump, and until it comes to you know some of the decisions, we need to get rid of you know illegal aliens, and we need mm-hmm. to clean these up. Mm-hmm. So I would say overwhelmingly that he's making a lot of good quality decisions,
a lot of great decisions
for the nation mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. and even for the world. But then you got to have that grace because there's a lot of things that, hey, we just don't agree with.
Right. Well, one person that he counts on and listens to, of course, is his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, Jared's a Jew. And so mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Like a hyper Jew.
Yeah, I'm sure that President Trump says, well, okay, you know, his opinion is really good when it comes to Israel because he's a Jew. I mean, that's just, you know, that's how I would look at it anyway. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you have to remember that Jared Kushner doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. So, you know, mm-hmm. you've got a problem here.
A big problem.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure how that gets resolved. But anyway, it's something that we are going to be covering here for as long as we've got, which isn't very long, in my opinion. Go ahead and finish mm-hmm. off this show and invite people to join us by accepting Jesus Christ.
So all these things, like the sons of Issachar, they were admonished for knowing the signs of the times, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at. And even Jesus himself, he talked to the Pharisees and says, you could tell if it's going to rain tomorrow, the red skies, you could tell all this stuff, but you didn't know the time of your visitation. Mm. Okay. And then we got the whole chicken event with that. Mm. So we need to understand these things and not be scared. We're not scared of this guy. It's actually pretty exciting if he is the Antichrist. That means Jesus is that much closer.
Amen.
He may or may not be, but he's definitely speaking that language. So there we are, which means, hey, we are super close. Jesus is returning. It's going to be an exciting event. If, you know, if he comes back in our lifetimes, our bodies will change instantly. And that's just going to be amazing. So if you want your body to change instantly, whether it's dead or alive, then I would admonish you to receive Christ as your Savior. And Lord willing, we will see you in the air. You guys have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show,
Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.